I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. Be seated, please. I want to turn your attention tonight on a great text of Scripture found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you. I want to speak tonight upon the one and only answer to man's needs. The one and only answer to man's needs. And it says here, be ready also to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. A reason of the hope that is in you. There are five things wrong with man. The first thing, man is in ignorance of God's holy and infallible word. And because of that ignorance, he has to have the answer from God's holy word and law. Then secondly, man is in isolation to the Christ of God. He doesn't know him. He's not acquainted with him. He's not at peace with him. And the Bible gives us the only and true and one answer to man's isolation to God. Then thirdly, man is in alienation to the grace of God. He doesn't understand the heart of God. He doesn't understand the working of divine grace. He doesn't understand his need of divine grace. And the one and only answer to man's alienation is the grace of God. And then a man is subject to temptation. And the only one and only answer to man's temptation is the incarnation of God. Christ the Lord becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us, and taking our sins to that place called Calvary, and cleansing them by the shedding of his most precious blood. That's the only answer to man's temptation. And then the one and only answer to man's degradation is the birth of God. He needs to be born again if he's going to ever see heaven and escape the torments of the damned in hell fire forever. Let me come back to these issues. The one and only answer to man's ignorance is the Word of God. Man is blinded. Man is dead without feeling. Man is a lost soul. We read in Job chapter 8 and verse 9, "For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days are a shadow." Oh, the awful ignorance of man. He knows nothing. That's not my word. That's the word of the Spirit of God in the Word of God. He knows nothing. Job, in another portion, in chapter 11, verse 7, says, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" They can do nothing of the sort. No man can find God. But thank God, God can find man. No man can know the Almighty unto perfection. But thank God, God can know us, everything about us, from the first day we breathed, from the first day and hour we breathed. It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? We cannot climb into heaven. It's deeper than hell. What canst thou do? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder God? For he knoweth thee in man. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Only the Scripture can enlighten the darkness of our minds and hearts. And if God doesn't enlighten us, we're lost. We will perish. And we will die without hope. There is only one lamp that can dispel this darkness, and that is the Word of the living God. To walk under the light of God's Word is wisdom. To close your minds and heart to God's Word is utter folly. Have you opened your heart to receive the instruction of the Spirit of God? Or have you closed your mind and your memory and closed your eyes to the Word of God? There was a Christian poet, and he wrote, "Better is thy word than money, better than the finished gold. Sweeter is thy word as honey, sweeter, Lord, a thousandfold. In this treasure, things we have both new and old. Lord, remove our blindness. Give us eyes that we might see thee, and let many, won by kindness, leave this old world to follow thee. mighty Savior, set the captive free. If God does not free you, my sinner friend, you'll be in darkness now. You'll be in darkness to the end of your life. You'll be in darkness at death. And when you cross the dark river, you'll be in darkness for all eternity. Let's face up to this, the one and only answer to man's ignorance is the Word of the living God. But man is not only ignorant, man is in isolation. He's separated because of his sin. He's separated from the God that made him. He's separated from the Christ who came to save him. He's separated from the gracious Holy Spirit who alone can bring pardon to a soul. He's separated from the blood of the everlasting covenant, which alone can cleanse the heart from sin. He's lost. He's isolated. He cannot see. He's bound by Adam's fall and by his own falling. And he lives behind the chains, and he never sees Christ, the light of the world. That's the Bible's description of you this night, my dear sinner friend. All the self-efforts of yourself will never open your eyes. All the learning you may do will never open your eyes. You need to be enlightened by the Christ of God. He is the light of this world. He is the light of this world. And you need light. Jesus is the victor's name. Jesus, Lord of glory. See, he comes, the hour is won. Fresh his honors blooming. This is he whom many foes threatened and assaulted. But above them all he used them, none the more exalted. Jesus, come. He won the day. Go ye forth to meet him. Bring the palm and strew the way. Bridge each road each day. You need to come into contact with Jesus Christ, who alone can answer your isolation. Apart from that, you're lost forever. Apart from that, death is your eternal portion. Apart from that, darkness is your everlasting gloom. There is no hope. In this book I read it, there's no hope for the person that doesn't meet with Christ and is saved by the blood of the Lamb. There's no hope whatsoever. So you can take your religion, and you can take your knowledge, and you can take everything that you can pile up by the mental forces of your inner man, but you're a lost soul. The one and only answer to man's isolation is the Christ of God. But let's come a little farther in this study. And let me say to you, the one and only answer to man's alienation from God is the grace of God. Do you know that man is grieved with this world, that God is grieved with this world? Sin has separated God from his own creature. God's grace is past measurement and past finding out. God is not content to rest in his throne or rule his immeasurable kingdom, which is over all, and leave his offspring, the man and woman he has made, to die and perish in the lake of fire forever. By his sovereign grace, God has set himself to seek and to save that which is lost. The move for salvation comes from God, not for man. Leave the sinner alone. He'll revel in sin. He'll go deeper into sin. He'll destroy himself with sin. His deathbed will be a demonstration of sin. His death will be a demonstration of sin. And his eternity will be an everlasting demonstration of sin. But God is not content to let sinners perish. And he, by his sovereign grace, has sent his Son to do something, to seek and to save that which is lost. What did that cost the Father to give a Son? What did it cost the Son to leave aside his throne and descend to this world to hang upon a cross in shame and shed every drop of his precious blood? What has Christ endured since he died on the cross? He's still the despised and rejected of man in many places, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ did not give up his post and his word to his Father, he would die for sinners. And the very man and woman that he came to die for, especially the Jewish race, they nailed him to a cross. They stripped him naked. They beat him with their whips. They crowned his head with thorns. They ridiculed him as he died in the darkness for them. But he didn't give up. He didn't say, I'm returning. He told his apostles that he could get legions of angels if the Father so desired it. But he turned his back on the angels. And when he did that, he turned his face towards sinners. Naked, vile, and helplessly, spotless Son of God was he, full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let me tell you, the only answer to man's alienation is the grace of God. The enmity of man to his God must be destroyed, and a unity between the mighty maker and those whom he made must be built up. The only reconciliation by Christ is his reconciling death on the cross. Strike ye saints a cheerful string. Your king for you all dangers braved. Were ye mute, the stones would sing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Heaven's high archers soon shall ring, while angels join with all the saved. And while both together sing, Hosanna to the Son of God. wonderful grace of Almighty God. Oh, the grace of God is beyond measurement. It's beyond imagination. But thank God, it's not beyond the sinner's heart. It reaches me. It reaches me. Pure, exhaustless, ever-flowing, wondrous grace, it reaches me. The one and only answer to man's alienation is the grace of God. But man is not only alienated from God, he is tied and netted in temptation. The temptations that a sinner cannot reject, that a sinner is not able to break, he makes very many times solemn vows that he'll not go back to the ways of sin, but he goes back. I don't know of many drunkards on this road who said to me, I'm quitting booze, but they're still boozing. I don't know how many people have told me in my ministry they're going to seek God, but they didn't. They sought their old ways. I remember having a prayer meeting in the old church, and there was a very prominent man lived in this neighborhood. And at the door of the prayer meeting, of a half night of prayer, the door rapped, and he was standing there. And he said, I want to come in and talk to you. And I brought him in and set him down on the last form at the back of the church. And he told me who he was, and I said, oh, I know who you are. He said, I want to tell you, Mr. Paisley, my mother was a saint. She was one of those people that was washed in the blood of the Lamb. And she pled with me from my earliest days to stop my liquor drinking and to turn and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. And tonight, he said, as I passed and heard the man praying, something happened to me. And I said, I'm going to go in there. And so he came in. And I said to him, well, I'm glad your mother prayed for you. But your only hope, sir, is in your mother's God. So you've got to turn from everything else. And you have to seek your mother's God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he's near to you tonight. And he looked at me. I never saw such an expression of pain and agony. And he said, I can't do it. I can't have done with my drink. I cannot do it. And after a while, he said, I'm going now. I said, are you going trusting in your mother's God? Are you going to hell and to the pump? He says, I'm going to the pump. That man was well known. And sometime afterwards, he was forced to cross the river by illness, and he passed out without meeting his mother's God or trusting her Savior for him. The only answer to temptation was to flee to Christ. And thou, my Lord, outreins foes I may well defy. Strong is thine arm, mercy and truth are thine. Wisdom and love divine, triumph and peace be mine. Nothing shall me harm if I trust in thee. And oh, sinner, tonight, only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. But there's something else. Sin brings degradation. And there's only one thing can stop that degradation in a man's heart, in a woman's heart, in a child's heart. And it is the new birth, the birth of God in the heart. To a sinner in the depths of his crimes and sin, Christ says, ye must be born again. Sinners need a new beginning. The old must pass away, and all things must become new. Listen to these words, the words of Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Grace it is. Tis grace indeed. Grace is the sweetest sound that ever reached our ears. When conscience charged and justice frowned, 'twas grace removed my fears. Grace is my mine of wealth. Lord, open to the poor. Grace is the farmer's spring of health, 'tis life forevermore. We hope to see Christ's face with all the saints above and sing forever of his grace, forever of his love. What you need, my friend, is the grace of God. To man's ignorance, God presents his word. To man's isolation, God presents his Christ. To man's alienation, God presents his grace. To man's temptation, God presents his incarnation, the Savior, the Lord of life and glory. And to man's degradation, God presents the new birth. You know what you need? You need to heed the word of God. You need to stop the isolation between you and Christ. For if Christ and you don't meet, you'll be a lost soul. You also need to break the alienation and accept the free grace of God without money and without price. You need to allow Christ to come in his mighty power and break all temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You need to have the degradation of your heart washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, and you need the new birth. Happy is the man, happy is the woman, happy is the boy or girl who can say, I have a faith could never be shaken. Faith that lays hold upon Jesus the Son, and from my heart it can never be taken. Faith in the name of the crucified one. He is holding me. He is safely enfolding me. And by his grace, I from sin have been made entirely free. With me every hour, in his saving power, Jesus the Savior, who died for me. I have a hope that shines clearer and clearer, even as the stars in the unclouded night. And to my soul it grows dearer and dearer, flooding my soul with unfading light. I have a trust that is brighter and brighter. Trust in the love of my Savior, my King, making the cross that I carry the lighter, as to the word of his promise I cling. I have one final word for you, my sinner friend. Come, come and welcome in Jesus Christ. There's a welcome for you. No matter how dark has been the past, how sinful has been your heart, how wickedly you have neglected Christ and turned time and time and time again your head away from him, he still pleads. He's holding out a nail-pierced hand to you, and he's saying, come, come, come. And I say, as his servant, come to Jesus now. Don't leave that seat until you've lifted your heart to the Lord and said, I am coming, Lord. Coming now to thee, wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. And oh, we thank thee for the gospel message. We thank thee for the pardon of God and the power of the Savior's blood. And we pray tonight that sinners will turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading, that they'll steer for the harbor bright. For how do they know but their soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Lord, stop their mad career. Turn them to the cross, and may sinners wash in the precious blood of Christ tonight and be saved with life everlasting. And the people of God said, Amen.